Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's up? How'd everybody's weekend go?
Good. I did not get a cameo message from Jared Stillman.
Well, that's disappointing.
Hopefully in the near future. But got to see some Titans on the field. And today... the full pads go on. So
yeah.
Not 1 month. Today is exactly 4 weeks from Titans Broncos. NFL.
Hey, buddy.
Well, NFL Monday Night Football opener. We'll have already seen a whole bunch of football by then.
It's exciting stuff.
It is.
Munson, how'd your weekend go?
It was good. Got to watch some NBA playoffs. We'll play in game.
Yep.
And that game was awful. It was awful.
I thought it was a great game.
No, it was great.
What are you talking about?
Great game. Awful outcome.
Well, that's true.
Because
not that surprising, though, right?
Nah, I mean, I thought they were going to at least win that game, though. They could have won that game.
They should have won that game.
Easily.
Yeah.
No, they could have. They could have won it. It was a fun game to watch. Too many turnovers and mistakes and too much C.J. McCollum.
Yeah.
To go with Dame.
John Moran, I thought, was awesome. He played great. But they just, you could tell, and Munson and I were talking about this before the show, like it was so obvious, like halfway through that fourth quarter, like they just didn't have any shooters out there. And once McCollum started hitting shots, Lillard hit a couple, Nurkic had like 1 million rebounds. Like they just didn't have enough shooters out there to keep up.
And then like John Morant, like he has to bulk up a little bit. He's got to play some defense.
That
defense against C.J. McCollum was awful. And if you're going to be able to guard some of the best guards in the league, especially in the West, like you got to bulk up a little bit because that was some awful display.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's a heck of a player you're trying to guard one-on-one.
It
but,
is.
But you're not wrong. And also, some of those turnovers were really killer. I mean, 8 turnovers, some of that was probably fatigue because, I mean, he didn't come off the floor in the second half, which I was looking at that like, man, if you guys do win – you're playing again tomorrow after he plays 40 minutes. I don't, you know, but I understand going that way too because when you don't have Tyus Jones and D'Anthony Melton is your two, you
that's a huge blow.
You stick with Ja as long as you can. Yeah,
because Melton, he's not that good. He's not that good. I played with him on 2K when I played with the Grizzlies.
That's how we judge players now.
He was awful. He was awful.
He's terrible on 2K.
And he couldn't shoot threes. He was awful. But Ty Jones, he definitely could shoot threes. And he's their best three-point shooter on their team. That's, you know, not Jaren Jackson. So, and then you lose that. So you lose a shooter on the court. So it sucks that they're out. But, hey, kudos to them for even making it that far. So,
hey, Nashville SC last night with another point. A game that we thought was never going to start. Weather delay down in Dallas ends in a 0-0 draw. But that's 4 points in the last two games for Nashville SC. So for those of you who stayed up and made it through it, way to go. I couldn't do it. Morning show duties called, but I didn't think that game was ever going to get played last night.
Yeah, neither,
finally did.
Neither did I. I found out waking up because we have to go to bed early, and it was obviously a terrible rainstorm, but turns out to be a pretty good trip to Dallas for Nashville SC. So, I mean, hey, they are consistently making it tough on people to score.
Yeah. Now, defensively, they've been really good. Even the first couple of games against Atlanta and Portland, I thought they were pretty good defensively. They just didn't have enough finish in their game. Found it the other day when they got their first win. They had a chance last night late to win and just went wide. But 4 points, I think you'll take that, especially as an expansion franchise, coming back into a situation like this. 4 points, you'll take that all day.
Right. And what is next for them? They're on the road, still until their first return game to Nissan. I know that. I know that the first game at Nissan is, I believe, the end of this month, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
I'm trying to look at that right now, and my computer. I'm going to blame
my computer. I'm just glad your computer is on mute.
Yeah, that's true.
We discovered that before the show.
I got the computer on mute early. See, if you go to ESPN.com early before the show, you will realize that your computer's not, because that is the one autoplay left. So they're at Atlanta Saturday, at Orlando the following Wednesday, and then it's August 30th, Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium.
That's 7:30. Right.
So there you go. So they're less than 2 weeks from another game at home at Nissan Stadium.
Joe, you spent a lot of your weekend at Titans practice. What were some of your big takeaways from the boys in blue out there throwing footballs around and touching each other and all that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was good to see football, that's for sure. It's obviously weird. It's weird everywhere. It's weird out there. It's a totally different deal. You got to go, you know, no more going in the building. Got to go to the back, and, you know, you got a little porta potty out there for the media and people with masks and distancing and different tiers of media and all that stuff. But it, on the field, just regular football practice. Basically, you know, it's the shorts and shells stuff that we've seen for a couple days today. The pads go on, but there are quite a few. I mean, you get a lot of information out of these, you know, especially when they go to team, you can see some things. But, you know, yesterday Darnton Evans, the rookie, had a couple fumbles. So, you know, that's one thing that you're like, whoa, this guy never fumbled in college. Fumbles in practice a couple times. Probably one of those things where, and Mike Vrabel said afterward, yeah, I mean, of course it's a concern. It's also one of those things that you probably like to see early and say, right, okay, you're an NFL player now. So, yeah, ball security obviously was something you had figured out in college. So you got to double your efforts against these guys. I think Adam Humphries, to me, looks lethal. And with Adam Humphries, it's interesting because last year he was hurt a lot and it was an ankle. And that's a guy who – his little change of direction in short spaces is insane. It really is. And so he has been matched up a lot with Christian Fulton, the rookie who, you know, I think is going to play a lot in the slot. And it's a nice trial by fire.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah. Trial by fire for Christian Fulton right now. They also did like a tackling drill yesterday, and not actually taking people down, but it, you know, one of those tackling drills where you loop around.
I think I saw it. Was it Raymond?
Yeah, Cleve Raymond. Yeah, put Fulton on skates, and Vrabel put Fulton, like, get right back in there, and then he did a much better job. Against another receiver, I forget who it was, one of the guys who's going to have to fight to make the roster. I continue to be impressed with a couple of the undrafted guys at receiver. Also, really wonder if, you know, John Robinson's going to have to get out there and sign someone, just because it's gonna, like, Cody Hollister is a guy, you know, they need a big receiver.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that they're going to keep. I mean, I think Raymond is in good shape right now to make the team. Man, it's hard for me to imagine they're going to keep Raymond and a Batson.
Right.
Just because they're both so small. I could be wrong. They could keep six and then also another one. But then Rashard Davis is also a real threat, and he's a return guy, and he looks good out there. So that's interesting, and I still wouldn't be surprised if Robinson went out and got someone.
Impressions from Tannehill early on? Still zipping that ball around?
Yeah, he looks really good.
That's
again,
good.
You know, practice. But, yeah,
right.
I mean, he had a pass yesterday to Humphries. It was a deep out. I don't know how he dropped it in there, but Amani Hooker couldn't have really had better coverage. And there was a window that was the size of a sliver, and he got it in there. Now, he looks in command. And the weapons, when he's thrown to A.J. Brown, when he's thrown to Jonnu Smith, you know, those, you know, guys are bouncing off those guys. Again, they're not tackling yet, but – you know, you're still contact. When they run team, it's still some hitting, some light hitting, slapping at the ball, and, you know, guys are just bouncing off Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown, and, yeah, Tannehill looks really good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's why you signed him to the big deal, man. I saw Marcus zipping the ball around yesterday for the Raiders too, man, in their training camp practices. He's looking good.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
That's an interesting thing out there.
It's weird.
It's
like they're almost – the vibe you get from Gruden out there is like, oh, I love Mariota. Derek Carr, yeah, whatever.
It is, but I still think it's a motivational thing. I could be wrong. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just like, oh, man, just let's go to Mariota. But man, I don't know. I think Derek Carr is a little bit better than Mariota.
I do,
not
too.
A lot better, but I think he's better. And so I'm looking at this thinking that maybe they're just really pumping up Mariota to push Derek Carr. I mean, obviously you want them to push each other, and competition
sure.
makes people better. But it does. It feels like they're just like, the Mariota era has begun, even though it's their backup.
I will say this. I saw some people comment on Twitter about this yesterday, too, when this video came out of Mariota just zipping the ball. They're like, there's a lot of times he looks great in practice. Talk to me when somebody's coming after him, when somebody's rushing him, and let's see what he looks like then. I mean, that's always going to be the thing with Marcus is, what does he look like in a game when somebody's breathing down his neck? Can he stand in there calmly, deliver the ball with accuracy? Because that's what got him in trouble here. I mean, he was just so erratic at times and so inconsistent that really on a game-by-game basis, you never knew what was going to happen. And that was the biggest issue with him.
Right. Yeah, and when protection broke down, it's a lot, I mean, a lot of quarterbacks are this way. But I also think post-injury in Jacksonville, there was some kind of like pocket skittishness
yeah.
that kind of developed with him. And then other injuries and stuff like that. It'd be awesome to see him stay healthy and play and do well. I still think he has a ton of talent. But I don't know. I don't know. Raiders fan, Munson, who's your quarterback going to be this year?
Carr and Mariota.
Wow. He went out on a limb there.
So
that was
who's,
good.
Who, 16,
it's
going to
be both.
16 games. Who's starting how many games?
Oh, who's starting? I mean, no one person is going to start 16 games, Joe. You can't.
Okay, so how's it break down?
Okay. Derek Carr, first six.
Okay.
Mariota, the rest.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So
as soon as they go, you know, 2-4 or 3-3.
So basically he's just paying forward on Tannehill. Basically the exact same thing.
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
Look, John Gruden, he loves him some Mariota. Him and Mike Mayock.
You can tell.
Him and Mayock love some Mariota. That's the reason why they got him in the first place. And there's a reason why they almost drafted a quarterback if they weren't going to get Mariota, is because they just don't like Derek Carr. It's not nothing to do with Derek Carr. I think he's good. It's just I don't think the people that are calling his shot are the ones that believe in him. I believe in Derek Carr, but they don't. So, and I'm not the one that's, you know, deciding the starting factor. So I think it's going to end up being Mariota.
So it sounds like you would prefer Carr, though.
I would prefer Carr. I've seen Mariota. No, thank you.
No, thank you, and I'm probably
thank you. I'll pass. But, yeah. But like, when Derek Carr's good, he's really good. When he has talented receivers around him, he's really good. Last year, not so much. Like, Terrell Williams, like, oh, okay, cool. But outside of that, it was really nothing. Now that he's got Ruggs, Williams, they got a couple of other pieces, and Lynn Bowden is probably going to be a threat for him. Josh Jacobs can catch out of the backfield.
Heck of a tight end, too.
Yeah, heck of a tight end, like in Waller. So he's got some talent around him now, so let's see how he does with this, because the last time he had talent, when he had Crabtree and he had Amari Cooper and Seth Williams, he was really good. So we'll see what he does with this talent. But I would give him a chance, but guess what? John Gruden's not. He's like, I'm getting $100 million to make these decisions, and I got to make this decision that Mariota is going to be my quarterback.
But your prediction only comes true if Carr isn't good in games.
But I think it won't even be all him, though. I think they go 2-4. It's not just – Carr's not the only problem.
They'll just make a QB switch to –
Yeah. Carr – and, you know, that's usually everybody's decision. Like, same thing with goaltending. It's like, oh, yeah. he allowed 4 goals. Let's take him out, not looking at everything else surrounding the team. And I think that's going to be the Raiders' problem, is because their defense is not that good either. But, you know, I think he'll be the one that take the rap for it. He'll be the one that will take the blame for them being 2-4 to start the season, you know, with the first 6 games. And then they'll be like, hey, let's try a coach or quarterback change. Let's try a coaching change.
That's Marcus time.
It's Mariota time. Let's see what he can do. And you know, Mariota will take it over from there.
When we come back, what should the expectations be for this Titans offense? Where's the bar? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
On Khalif Raymond, how much improvement have you seen, not just in his skills after last year, but maybe in his awareness of what he is, his routine of being around the team since he's been here for a year now?
Yeah, I think he just, he had some big plays for us last year down the field. So I think the quarterback has confidence in him. I think Ryan has confidence in him. I think he's improved his route running. You know, he's not the biggest guy, so he's going to have to run really good routes against, press coverage or bigger type players that may want to get their hands on him or create some contact. And I think he understands that, and he's worked, really hard, and that'll be something that'll have to carry over when we get pads on here and we're running and running routes. I got this here. I got
this here. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Khalif Raymond yesterday at his availability after practice. Welcome back in Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. And Joe, I detected some stumbling there from the best question asker in Nashville media. There wasn't smooth.
Yeah,
some work there.
When you ask the best questions in Nashville media, you're allowed a stumble or two.
Okay.
Excellent question again, Jared Stillman, who, by the way, as we will remind you every segment for the rest of time, is on Cameo because his college buddy recruited him to be on Cameo.
We found that we've discovered the secret, for God's sake. We know what he's doing.
That's the part of the email he wouldn't tell us. But anyway, interesting. Asking about Khalif Raymond. Raymond is an interesting case with this team, too, because, he's a great story. He's still probably – he's going to be a very situational player.
Yep.
I mean, if your top three are healthy, they're going to get the bulk of the reps. But I will say that Raymond looks really good out there. It's just confidence is so big in anything you do in athletics. And you can see he now has that little bit of that swagger. I caught a TD pass in a playoff game. I caught a TD pass at Indy in maybe the biggest win of the regular season. He has that. And he is – it looks like he's gotten better too. Change of direction is pretty special at times, and he's got good speed. So – he looks great. He is also, again, a guy who's a support player.
Yep.
And I still am really interested to see how things look at the back end of that receiver room. Tajae Sharpe is an underrated loss.
It is. And we were talking last week, we were talking about A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and they're not really burners. They're guys, A.J. Brown can run past you every now and then, but he's not just going to blaze by you like he's Tyreek Hill or somebody out there. Khalif Raymond is a guy that his skill set is different from what they have in terms of the speed that he's able to play with. And he's not a big guy. But I wonder, is that enough for Khalif Raymond to be a true difference maker with this group on a consistent basis? Because, like you said, if the top three are healthy, if you've got Humphreys, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis – they're going to play the bulk of the time. I just wonder when you use Khalif Raymond, play action pass is going to be crucial in terms of getting him open, letting him have some space to operate with. But the Titans don't really have another guy quite like that. And I think that is something that John Robinson might need to take a look at, because we know in this league, you can't coach speed, can't defend against speed. That's one thing that's going to separate you from the pack, and Khalif Raymond has that.
Right, and I did think that in the offseason that would be one way or the other something that they would add as just another, vertical threat. It didn't work out with Taywan Taylor. Raymond ends up just being better than him in camp last year, which preseason games helped us find out.
Yep.
This year there aren't preseason games, because there are a couple. I mentioned Cody Hollister, obviously a guy fighting for a spot. Rashard Davis has good speed too. Also a little guy, 5'9", 175, to go with Raymond, 5'8", 182, to go with Cam Batson, 5'9", 175. Or no, he's 5'8", 175. So their fast guys are little guys. I thought maybe they would try to get a vertical threat in the draft. There are a lot of good receivers. They didn't do it. I do like the looks of Christian Wilkerson, TD, Teron Davenport, threw his name out before practice on Friday, and he's a nice-looking prospect, undrafted guy out of Southeast Missouri. SEMO, that's John Robinson's alma mater.
Hey, buddy.
SEMO, played some football at SEMO. But he looks good out there. But, yeah, they don't have – that's the only criticism I can really give this offense is, you can't stretch the field vertically as well as some of these other top offenses in the league. You don't have the guys to do that. Now, you have – scary speed to go with size with, obviously, Derrick Henry, but even with Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't have a straight line. Just
like, A.J. Brown's not slow. I don't want to – like, no. He's not a slow guy, but he's not your typical burner either.
Nah, right. Now, A.J. Brown's a guy, you know, if he's matched up on the outside and covered well, I'd still throw it to him.
Yeah, he can catch it.
Right. But as far as actually just, you know, making a defense afraid and making safeties think twice, I mean, they don't have a lot of that. Khalif Raymond, that's probably part of his role. It'll be interesting to see how much of a role he can carve out. Again, he had some big moments last year, but he didn't have a lot of moments. And I don't know how much he's going to crack, you know, the rotation and how many snaps he'll get. Again, Rashard Davis is really interesting. He got the I think you take notice when someone gets the off-season award, which he is one of those guys. Now, again, as Mike Vrabel said, like the off-season awards are somewhat based on Zoom calls.
Right.
You know, that's what this off-season was. So yeah, I guess maybe they mean less this time around than in a normal off-season when everybody's in the weight room and they're all together and they do all the drills and the OTAs and minicamp. But still, that says something to me, you know, that he has really impressed them. And he looks good out there, and he's got some speed, you know, to go. I mean, they're sending him on some vertical routes, and he runs well. So, like, how many little guys like that, 5'8", 5'8", 5'9", about 175, 180 pounds, do you want in your receiver room?
Yeah, that's a good question because you certainly don't want him running across the middle too much. It's not going to end well. We saw that last year at times as well. Joe, I look at this offense and just trying to determine what the expectation should be, because I think it's fair to say at this point, and I know it's a couple practices in and they're not hitting each other all that much. I get that. But I think it's fair to say the offense is probably ahead of the defense at this point in camp, which is to be expected. Much of that offense is the exact same as it was last year. What are the expectations for this offense? Like, should it be a top five offense in the league? Top 10? Like, where do you think the bar is for this group? Because I look at this roster right now, in order for them to be as competitive as Titans fans are going to want them to be, and by that I mean, you know, back in the playoffs, obviously, and maybe flirting with getting back to that AFC championship game, I think they're going to have to be a top five offense. I think the tools are there for them to do that. But is that a fair bar? Is that where the expectation should be?
I think that's exactly where it should be. I think top five is not easy, but I think it's attainable. Look, when I think about the best offense in the NFL, you know, I think everybody would have the same number one.
Yep.
The team that somehow operates without a salary cap, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Somehow, like, just signing everyone to massive deals and everything's fine there.
It's impressive.
Yeah. I think the Ravens, for as well as the Titans did on one night, that is a frightening multiple offense with all kinds of problems for people. And they got better and added some people. So I think you start there. And, of course, those are two teams in your conference.
Right.
So, like you said, if you're going to get there and beat those teams, you're gonna have to score a lot of points. You know, after that, I think the Titans can try to compete with a lot of these other teams that would be up there. I think that they're right in there. Our guy, Shil Kapadia, ranked the top 32 for The Athletic. He put the Titans ninth. And last year they were sixth. And think about them being six after being in six games. Well,
maybe
30th?
The worst. Yeah.
32nd. That's how good they were. Unbelievable once Tannehill took over and to finish six. So I think they can be top five. Can they be better than the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Niners? I mean, he's got the Cardinals and Colts ahead of them. I mean, frankly, I think it would be a disappointment if those teams had better offenses than the Titans. And again, some of that is just what you think about Phil Rivers or not. But no, I think a top five offense is absolutely realistic. I think a lot of it, look, Tannehill looks great. He's going to have a good year. We know what Derrick Henry is. I think that A.J. Brown is going to be really good. He's not, I'd be shocked if he has this sophomore slump fall off. He's working his butt off to be really good. Corey Davis's health, that's something you look at. And then the offensive line. You know, Jack Conklin is a loss. He really is a loss, especially in that running game at right tackle. Dennis Kelly right now, I'm 98% sure we'll start the opener and we'll start at least for a while this year. Yep. We'll see if Isaiah Wilson can catch him at some point. You know, that offensive line, Nate Davis, you know, Saffold and Lawan on that side, you would think they'd be ready to rock after, you know, those early, I mean, Lawan missing the first four and then kind of an adjustment period.
It was a rough start for Saffold last year. He found his way after that, after Lawan came back. Those first five or six games, he looked awful.
He did it, and I think when they, you know, when they really got it going, as a run-blocking left guard, he is a monster.
Oh, yeah.
He's still a guy that, you know, singled up in pass protection can spring some leaks. But a lot of that, too, is just how the unit plays collectively. If that unit is ready to go and stays healthy and you get good play at right tackle, then yeah, I do. I think it's absolutely a top-five offense in the NFL.
When we come back, we've discussed the offense. We all expect it to be really, really good this year. What about the defense? How concerned are we about the other side of the ball? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Mike, with DeAndre Walker getting the look he's getting right now, is that DeAndre sort of earning that opportunity with offseason stuff, or is it that with all that time off, you really want to give him a chance to get that kind of a look?
I mean, opportunities come in a lot of different ways, Joe. So I don't really, you know, it doesn't matter how you get the opportunity. It's that you do everything you can to take advantage of it. And I think that he's really done that throughout the off season in the mobile classrooms or, you know, in the Zoom setting. And then now being able to take it to the field, you know, he looks healthy. He's been able to participate. And so that's allowed him to hopefully improve. So he is taking advantage of his opportunity.
Rexroad with the question there. Got to work on the connection a little bit.
Yeah,
well,
fix your Wi-Fi.
Hey,
we do it.
That connection is the Titans connection. Hey. We were all sitting in that media tent. They've got us in a tent. They got three tables. And then you hear this echo like, Mike, Rabel. They're all asking questions. So don't blame me. But I'm glad you ran that question, Munson, because maybe Stillman is listening and can, you know, pick up on how to ask a question well.
That was good. That was a good question.
Yeah, it was
Rabel loved it.
Well,
you
can tell. It is interesting that DeAndre Walker, you know, he's getting looks with the ones right now. Now, Kamale Correa is out at this point.
Right.
And not sure what that is. I did not see him out there at all yesterday. Like, Kenny Vaccaro left Friday and then was out there on the bike yesterday, and he looks fine. I mean, it won't be long for him. They're going to be super careful, especially with the key guys. But DeAndre Walker is getting absolute tons of looks right now. So, and that was my question. I mean, I still have that question kind of, even after Rabel answered. Like you said, opportunity comes different ways. But it's like, is it, hey, we've got to look at this guy? Or is it more, wow,
right,
this guy's pushing and you got, you know what I mean? It's probably some of both. It's probably some of both to give him as much of a look as you can give him. And he's probably done well. I would say if he didn't do well in some things they wanted to see, probably wouldn't get that look. Will he be a guy on the edge who can do something for you? That, I have no idea. Pads will help figure that out.
Now, you mentioned pads. How often and how much harder do you think they're going to go in pads in this training camp than normal, just given the fact that you don't have the games, you don't have preseason games to get ready? Because, like, at some point, like, you're going to have to hit each other. Like, you're going to have to simulate game out. You can't just go out there against Denver and get smacked right in the mouth and expect everything to go well and everybody to hold on the ball and all these different things. Like, how often do you think pads will take place, and how hard do you think they go in pads once that happens?
I mean, based on stuff Vrabel has said, I think they're going to go a lot more. Well, I think they're going to be a lot more physically inclined when they are in pads than they have been in the past. You know, right now they would have played at least one, if not two, preseason games, right?
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, you take those away, and I'm sorry, there's just a different energy in a preseason game. The lights are on, the uniforms are on, there's a different team over there, and these are the moments where you earn your spot, especially, you know, if you're those guys trying to make this roster. Those are all gone. So if you're the coaches, you do not love losing those opportunities. If you're the front office, you do not love losing those opportunities, not only to look at your team. You hate that other teams out there aren't playing and you can't sit there and look at film. I mean, there's guys on this Titans roster who are here because of other, like, glimpses in preseason games for other teams. But anyway, for the coaches, Yes. I think they're going to hit a lot more. I mean, look, Vrabel said before camp, you know, like Darnton Evans, he's going to get hit in Denver. He's got to get hit.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, he's not getting hit, but he's getting a couple hands slapping at the ball, and it comes out twice. I'm pretty sure they're going to want to see him get hit a lot within reason.
Sure.
I mean, there's such a different –
you don't get people killed out there, but
– yeah. Like when Vrabel played, it was like just smash into each other until you're sharpened. Iron sharpens iron, Robbie. it's a different deal now in the NFL, obviously. I mean, there's an accumulation of hits you're trying to avoid. You know, it's been collectively bargained to reduce that by a lot. I bet, but I would say to the limit of, you know, what is, you know, considered safe now, and to the limit of, you know, what he would ever do, I would say that Mike Vrabel will probably take it there, because they've got to get ready, and you've got to somehow make up. You can't totally make up for what a preseason game is. But you've got to try. You've got to have as many situations as possible and as much physicality as you can have in your practices.
All right, so we talked about the offense in the last segment. We feel pretty good about it. We talked about the bar being really a top five offense. And the reason I feel like it has to be that way, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, Joe, I have huge concerns about this defense. I do. And I like a lot of pieces. Like, I love the secondary. I think it's a really good secondary. My concern is, I think they're going to have to cover so long that people are just going to get open, because the pass rush with this group right now, even if Vic Beasley ends up getting healthy and working out, I still have major questions about the pass rush with this group. That's why I think there's so much pressure on this offense. Am I wrong? Should there be huge concerns about this defense, or am I overblowing this?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I agree. The secondary looks really good. Malcolm Butler being out there, you can see the difference. Now, remember, I guess it was 2 years ago, right? He came in 2 years ago, and that's all anybody talked about in camp was Malcolm Butler, because he was making plays, and he was loud, and he was just having a blast out there, and he brought all this energy, and you're like, man, what a pickup. And then he goes out in the first half of the season, he's getting torched left and right. I mean, you have to keep things in perspective. But you add him with Adoree Jackson. I mean, Christian Fulton is right now looks like a rookie at times, but I think certainly he's going to be an asset. And then the safeties are great. The middle linebackers are awfully, awfully good. But, yeah, it comes down to it. If you can't affect the quarterback, then it doesn't matter how good your secondary is. It really doesn't at some point. So it is a valid concern. And then the valid concern of coaching, too, with Dean Pease gone and how that's going to look. They have coordinators available today. Shane Bowen is talking along with Arthur Smith. Kind of another indication, you know, we don't know exactly how it breaks down, but Shane Bowen is certainly taking on some of the D coordinator stuff on his plate. But that's a big concern. Dean Pease, great defensive coordinator. And so you got all this transition, and Harold Landry has got to be better. Like you said, Vic Beasley's got to pass a physical and play.
Yes.
And then, you know, I mean,
step one.
Yeah. Kamale Correa's got to get healthy. You know, they're giving DeAndre Walker a look. If they are disruptive up front and Jeffrey Simmons takes a big step, then that helps for sure. But I think they need a piece. We can keep going back to the client discussion. And there's some stuff on him, by the way, over the weekend.
Yep.
Kimberly Martin from Yahoo, I believe I have that right, had a little tweet thread on Clowney. And then you know, there was something else on ESPN about him, this idea of him sitting out. I think that's absolutely unrealistic, and it's just something coming from his camp.
Yep.
Because no one's paying him what he wants. I mean, if you're him and you sit out this year, you're not going to get paid in a league where you have a very short window to get paid.
Right.
I mean, even if you're mad about 10 or 12 million, would you rather have 10 or 12 million this year or nothing? And then come back next year with the cap, what's going on there? And you're still a guy coming off a banged up season with 3 sacks. And now people are like, I mean, he sat out last year. Does he even want to play football? I mean, there's no way he's sitting out. He's going to play football for someone this year, and it's not going to be for what he wants to make. And then if he has a great year, maybe he can have something close to the deal he thinks he deserves. I just don't buy it all, him sitting out. I think I'd buy him sitting out till Wednesday of the opener.
Sure, yeah.
Like, give me 2 days of practice and I'm ready. I buy that a lot.
But. He's also 27 years old. So, I mean, look, that's not old by football standards. You still got a lot of good football in you, hopefully, at that age. But you're sitting out a year. That's a year that somebody else is not going to want to give you after that.
Exactly.
In terms of the contract you're going to get. Yeah, like, it's just like when Le'Veon Bell set out, he's like, I'm going to make it. No, you're not. You're not going to make that money up, and he hasn't made that money up.
He hasn't. I mean, he gave himself free agency. The difference with that was he gave himself a chance to be on the open market.
Right.
It hasn't worked out. I mean, you know, it hasn't worked out with the Jets. You're right. Ultimately, he's not going to end up making it up back. But at least that was I understood it to a point. If you get what you want in the market, he didn't. This would just be
passing
on money. Yeah. This would just be like, yeah, I guess I just won't get paid this year. No, you can't do that at this age, at this stage of your career. And again, you're not going to look any better to anybody. You're just going to look a year older with those same questions probably looming larger in a year. That's not going to happen. So I still think Clowney to the Titans is absolutely the most likely scenario in the NFL this year. But that price tag, you know, at some point he's going to have to take it down. And I think he's totally fine not seeing a wink of camp. So people are just going to have to wait. But then that's the thing. So let's say that does happen and he signs here on, you know, Monday before the Broncos game. Like, how long will it take for him to have any kind of impact on this defense? Probably a little while. Still, though, I feel like this defense needs it. I'm standing firm on that, especially if the guy's healthy. He could make a big difference.
Can this team be a legitimate Super Bowl contender without him? Like, if you look at this roster, this pass rush situation right now, can they be a legitimate Super Bowl threat without him? Because I don't think they can.
Well, I can't say they can't. I mean, does Vic Beasley, maybe he comes out with his hair on fire and it's like, oh.
I don't trust that guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions. Harold Landry? I mean, Harold Landry's going into his third year. Could Harold Landry be a 12, 14 sack guy all of a sudden? Could.
Yeah.
Could Jeffrey Simmons just be a blot out the sun interior presence who all of a sudden makes everybody better rushing passer? Yeah. I mean, a lot of things have to break their way. And again, as we said last segment, I don't think they're getting, even with Clowney and a lot of things going their way, I don't think they're like a top 5-10 defense in the NFL, but they'd be good enough. I mean, they're going to have to be incredible at times on offense to beat these teams in the AFC they have to beat. So could that happen? Yeah. But what's the percentage increase? I'd say it's a pretty decent one from no Clowney to Clowney.
Well, everybody just goes back to Kansas City last year. You couldn't get to Mahomes, and eventually he just tore you apart. Like, that's what he does. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's not like that's going to change this year. Mahomes is still going to be Mahomes. He's still going to tear you apart if you can't get to him. And I look at this team right now, whether it's Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, whatever, I don't have a whole lot of confidence they can get to him. And that's going to be a problem if you can't do that.
No, for sure.
And you're just going to get torched.
Now, the one difference that I would say this defense right at this second versus that defense, of course, had Logan Ryan. It had no Malcolm Butler. So you play them now with a Butler and with a Fulton who's a lot faster than Ryan. Okay,
yep.
So maybe you can match up with some of those. Because that's what they did. They killed them with the secondary guys, right? The Titans were all over Kelce and Hill, and those other guys destroyed them. So now you can run with some of those other guys better. But, yeah. Yeah, they're going to score a lot of points on you. You're going to have to score one more on them somehow.
When we come back, what have we made of the rookies so far in Titans practice? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, Mike, wondering the rookie class in general and maybe specifically with Isaiah, how did you expect the lack of an offseason, OTAs, et cetera, to affect these guys, and how have you seen that play out, if you have seen anything play out in the first couple of days of practice?
You know, those OTAs move pretty quick, John. I think that's what you watched there the last 2 days was really an OTA practice. And I know that there's some time off between that last OTA and training camp, but they still have a point of reference, I think. And right now they don't. The only point of reference is yesterday or this practice that we just had. So tomorrow is another step, and tomorrow is going to be another step with pads on, and it's going to change. And then we're going to really start to try to figure things out and see what it looks like. So, you know, the expectations are still extremely high, but I do understand that there were, you know, 13 of those OTAs that they left out there, and we'll keep moving forward.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Titans' rookie class so far into training camp. Welcome back in Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Joe, how far behind do we think these rookies are? Not having OTAs, really just being thrown out there this past week and seeing what they've got. How difficult do you think that this has been on them, given that they're so far behind in terms of their on-field action with this group than most rookie classes would be heading into this situation?
Yeah, I think it depends on position there, too. So, I mean, if you look at these rookies, by the way, one rookie who I definitely noticed yesterday was Chris Jackson, seventh-round pick, really out there making plays, getting some corner work. He's sort of a corner safety. I've kind of viewed him as a safety if he makes this roster, but he really – impressed me. He got at least one forced fumble himself yesterday, so he looks good. Like, I think about positions, like, you know, with Darnton Evans, obviously there's a lot of pass protection stuff that you just have to do,
right?
And so that's, you would think that he would be swimming a little bit there. I think with the defensive backs, you know, you can keep some things simple for them, and like Christian Fulton, it'll be interesting how much do they want to move him around, how much is he in the slot. You know, in some ways, the slot can be really more complicated than just playing on the outside. So, you know, that's going to take some time. Like, I think of an Isaiah Wilson, and I think that's really where you are going to need maybe more time, more reps out there. And it looks that way. Isaiah Wilson, you absolutely – notice the guy.
He is huge.
He's
massive. Goodness.
And he moves really well. I mean, he looks like a guy who someday, and maybe someday soon, is going to be a force. But I also, so far, when I watch like Dennis Kelly and I watch Isaiah Wilson, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference in, you know, understanding everything and confidence and all that. And that's not surprising. Would that be way different now if Isaiah Wilson had a spring? I don't know. Probably some. I'm sure there's some of this stuff. They've done all the classroom stuff. All these guys have all the information. But still, there's a reason to have those things in the spring, you know, because the classroom has limitations. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I can't sit there and look and say, oh, yeah, you can tell that guy didn't have OTAs, you know, but – I can't imagine that there's not some makeup. And like Vrabel said, this is almost like a condensed couple of OTA situations, the last couple practices, and now maybe a little bit more like quote-unquote fall camp as they get the pads on.
All right, so which rookie are we most excited about? Who do we think is going to have the biggest impact? Because I think probably the easiest answer, at least to me, and you can tell me if you disagree, is Fulton, just because I think he's going to be on the field the most. Darnton Evans, though, I look at his skill set. I think it's the perfect complementary back to Derrick Henry. And he's got to hold on the ball. That's going to be step one. You mentioned the fumbles that he had yesterday. You got to hold on the ball when you're out there. Number one, you can't be worse than Deion Lewis. So that's a positive. Like, you're not going to be worse than Deion Lewis. Number two, I just like that kind of change of pace that he brings to the table. He's probably the one I'm most excited to watch. But I still think Fulton ends up having the most impact in terms of their on-field success.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Look, I mean, if Isaiah Wilson at some point this season becomes a starter, I won't be surprised. I don't think that's early in the season.
Right.
I think that's down the road. Christian Fulton, yeah, basically looking around at this secondary, they do have some other veterans, you know, who are solid players like Ty Smith out there. But, yeah, I would expect him to start or at least have a lot of snaps from week one. Evans, I mean, the work he's getting right now tells me that's the plan with him. And you're right, the preseason game right now, a preseason game would be fun to watch Evans out there. See him,
I mean, he'd play
carries
for two quarters.
Right. Yeah. He'd get a ton of work. He'd get some carries. He'd get the ball in the passing game, things like that. his pass protection is going to be absolutely huge in this whole thing. I mentioned Chris Jackson. If you want to go down the list, I still think Laurell Murchison is a guy who could be in the rotation. By the way, he got hurt yesterday, was down for a few minutes, didn't see what happened. It was during team, and he went down. They tended to him, but he came back, so it looks like he's fine. But he's a guy who looks the part, too, and really impressive guy. And I would think that he would definitely have a chance to be in there. Cole McDonald was doing the tackling drills. So Cole,
really?
Yeah. Cole McDonald was out there doing the, you know, like basically running backs and receivers take the ball, loop around, and then basically just a one-on-one, see if you can shake a guy. And he was in there. So I was like, oh.
That's impressive.
The Marcus Mariota, you know, slash package, yeah, maybe for Cole McDonald this year. Just giving him a look anyway. He's athletic. He actually, I think he's thrown the ball pretty well too so far. Not necessarily in team, like seeing everything and looking like an NFL quarterback, but he throws it well when he's just throwing the football.
So he's passing Logan Woodside is what you're saying through 2 days.
No, okay. That is not true. No. That's funny thing is Tannehill, there's a big gap between Tannehill and Woodside. There's a big gap between Woodside and McDonald too. Yeah, not that surprising, but still, you notice it. Yeah, it's Evans, it's Fulton, those two, you know for sure. I think Murchison's on the field, and I think Wilson at some point maybe this year. I don't know. He's going to be really interesting to watch. It's hard when you watch him. It's like that's just a different guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's just, and you think about in the run game what it could mean to have him there. Yeah, he's. But you got to be able to protect the passer. And Dennis Kelly, that's where Dennis Kelly is strongest. And I think you probably right now you're trading off some run game to know that.
Got to keep Tannehill upright this year.
That's crucial.
You,
yeah, keeping Tannehill upright, you're good at pass protection. Also that you understand the protections and who to hand off and all those things that just come with being a veteran compared with being a rookie.
A lot of people yesterday on the Twitterverse were making a big deal about Derrick Henry catching the ball out of the backfield as if he somehow looks like the second coming of LaDainian Tomlinson at this point. Have you noticed a big difference in Derrick Henry's ability to catch the ball? Because it was all over the social medias yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching those drills, and I saw some of the videos people put out. I should probably start some of these videos. So what, you just take video and then just tweet it, right?
Like, yeah, man.
If it's a certain amount, certain length. Oh, I've never done it before.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So pathetic.
I think you could get up to like 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that pretty new?
No.
Okay.
No, it's been there.
Pathetic.
Give it yeah, times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Derrick Henry, yeah, he looks good catching the ball. I mean, obviously he's gotten a lot better with his hands than since he was in high school, as John Glennon wrote the story. You know, his high school coach said he was like Edward Scissorhands out there. Well, he's got a lot better. I don't know that. Yeah, I'm looking at him like, oh, that, forget about it, Evan. Sit down. Derrick Henry's playing every snap. But, hey, it's something that I think he's clearly worked on in his career with the Titans, and it has paid off. I don't know that he's never going to be, you know, the guy catching 60, 70, 80 passes, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, whoever. But, yeah, he looks good doing it. He looks good anytime he gets the ball in his hand. So that screen game with Henry is going to still be lethal and utilized this year.
When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion with our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. That's next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.